Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, or good early afternoon, depending on what time you get up on Saturday morning, my friends. I think our guest just dialed in, but first I want to introduce you to our show and welcome you to Blog Talk Radio's Off the Shelf for this Saturday. The sun is so gorgeous coming through the window in my home office on January the 15th, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and my father's birthday. And also, this is the day Muhammad Ali was born on. Three great leaders, and happy, happy, happy birthday to all three of you. And to our listeners here at Off the Shelf, I want to thank you for joining us here this morning. It is such a joy to have you here with us. I'm just going to take a moment to see if this is our special guest. Hello, is this Eric?
Yes, yes, it is. How are you? Good morning to you.
I'm good. We have started, and I'm just introducing the show. I wanted to go ahead and connect you. I'm going to finish introducing, and then we're going to launch into the interview. So thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
For those who have tuned in before, you're familiar with Off the Shelf and who I am. For those who are tuning in for the first time, let me introduce myself. I'm your host, Denise Turney, coming to you live from the City of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And as always, I so thank you. I tremendously appreciate you and thank you for your support. And I encourage you not to let another day pass before you pick up a copy of Long Walk Up. Long Walk Up is a powerfully moving and inspirational book that will motivate you and encourage you to keep moving forward to live out your marvelous, marvelous destiny. And you can pick up a copy of Long Walk Up today by visiting www.chistell.com. You can also pick up a copy of Long Walk Up at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Walmart, or any bookstore. If you don't see it on the shelf, just ask the clerk for it because it's carried by the largest book distributors in the world. And now, for this time that you all have been waiting for, let us introduce you to our very special guest. Today's guest is a father. He is the founder of Fathers with Voices, and he is a workshop leader. He is also the author of the book, Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. He earned a bachelor's degree in sociology from the College of New Rochelle in New York, and he is also a radio talk show host. He has appeared on shows like The Michael Bazin Show, Tom Joyner's Morning Show, and Steve Harvey's Morning Show, Teen Talk Radio, and Straight Talk. He is online at, and you might want to write this down, you can go check his website out while we actually do the interview. He is online at www.fatherswithvoices, spelled the way it sounds, Fathers with Voices, FatherswithVoices, fatherswithvoices.info, I-N-F-O. Who is this amazing man? He is the one and only Eric Leggett. Did I say your last name right?
Leggett.
Leggett. Eric Leggett. Well,
yes.
Excuse me. Welcome to Off the Shelf, Eric.
Well, thank you so much. That was a wonderful introduction. You made me sound like I know what I'm doing.
You have done amazing work, and I know many of our listeners will benefit from what you share today here on Off the Shelf. I wanted to begin by asking you, Eric, why do you think we choose to do something to help fathers receive visitation rights and find ways to create loving relationships with children? No, why did you yourself decide to take action, not just talk about it, because so many of us just talk, Eric. Why did you choose to take action and not just talk to help fathers to get visitation rights and find ways to create loving relationships with their children after what you experienced in your own personal life involving your child and your child's mother? So many people don't do anything. Why did you decide to do something?
Well, I think a lot of it stems from my background. My parents were always very active in the community growing up in terms of if there was something wrong going on in the community. I grew up in a time where, and I always tell my daughters this, that communities did things together. If there was a street light that was broken, we got it fixed. I just grew up in an environment where my parents showed me through example that you stand up for what you believe in. And if there's something wrong, if there's something in your power that you can do to fix that problem, then you do it. And in the case of helping fathers, when I started the program, it wasn't because of my own experiences. It was an experience that a childhood friend was going through.
Okay.
So when I started Fathers with Voices in 1996, I believe it was like June of 96, around September, I had to navigate that same legal system for my own daughter.
Wow.
Involved in her life. So that was my training period in terms of seeing how men are treated within the legal system. I saw the bad side, but the good side was that I saw that because of my persistence, because of in terms of me presenting myself well in court, those were the things that I look at in terms of being successful within the system that allowed me to win my rights back to my daughter.
Now, Eric, when you think back, and we'll have to go back probably at least over 50 years, and maybe even a little further than that, when we think back to the time when women didn't have the right to vote, and because even male slaves got the right to vote before female slaves did. When you think about women didn't have the right to vote, and women were really deemed sort of like a man's property. You know, in the old days, you had to give the father gifts to. It's almost like you're paying for the woman to be your wife. But
right.
When you go back to those times and when women had like zero rights, do you think that the laws that are created now in regards to child support and even some with maybe some alimony laws, when I think about those times, these laws make good sense. But woman's not allowed to work and her husband's her only livelihood and he divorces her. Well, yeah, she's going to need some alimony and she's going to starve. So when you think to the laws today that were created many, many years ago, do you think the laws, the reason they are now have become out of balance because life has changed? Do you think the laws are too old and they need to be updated?
I do believe that they're too old, but in the sense of fathers, don't get it misconstrued. Men can be successful at obtaining their rights. The problem that I have from a professional standpoint is that it's not so much the laws, it's the money behind the laws. See, divorce and drama represents a large amount of money. It helps a lot of people make good money, earn good salaries. And what people don't understand is that it is designed to keep parents at odds. It's designed, when you look at, let me just give a very clear example. An example of child support, for example, I've had cases where men's salary was garnished as much as 80% for one child.
Whoa!
Okay, so let's think about this for a minute. You're my ex-wife. They're taking, let's throw a random figure in terms of wages. I earn $800 a week. They take 80% of that. That leaves me with about $200, right? How am I going to feel about you?
Wow.
My ex-wife. Do you see where I'm coming from?
No, exactly. And then the child suffers.
And then the child suffers because now I don't like your mom. So now you and I cannot.
Goodness.
We can't parent together. My program has been very successful at helping men get money back from child support due to quote-unquote clerical errors, okay? So it's not so much that the laws are old. Fathers can be successful within the system, but there is a strategy in order to do that. And one of the main strategies is persistence. It's like the system says, we really don't believe that you care about your son, so we need you to come back a couple of more times. Do you see what I'm saying? You have to prove yourself. And once you prove yourself, the system will work for you. It will. I've been sharing this with fathers for, what, this is my 15th year. But a lot of fathers, they don't believe because they go through the harshness of the system and then they give up. But you can't. If you keep going back, then you will have proven yourself to the system, and then they will begin to work with you. So
now
I can.
You did, and thank you. I can say that wherever that father resided, I don't think any state law. I know they look at both people's salaries, and if the mother isn't working, the father's going to have to pick up more of the load, and vice versa. But 80%, when you said typo, well, that would have to be an error. I don't know any state that has laws that require you to give up 80% of your income
to
pay child support.
Well, people don't understand what these men go through, and it's hard for me a lot of times to read articles and men should pay their child support. I'm going to keep it real with you. Over half of my fathers could care less about child support. What that means is that they don't mind paying the child support. The problem that many men have is that, yes, their money is being garnished, but on the other side, they're being denied access to their children. And the system does nothing to help them. Now, when they say, okay, well, then why am I paying all this money and I can't even be involved? That's when child support becomes an issue. When their visitation rights are constantly violated, that's when
And most states keep visitation and child support. It's not even you're not even going through the same agency. One you're going to one area, one court for the visitation, and another area for your child support. And child support, the people who run that in states, they say we have nothing to do with the visitation rights. That's a whole totally separate issue. But it really isn't, because it involves the child. I want to just to tell our listeners here at Off the Shelf more about Fathers with Voices. How did you arrive at that title, and what are some of the services that you offer through Fathers with Voices?
Well, when the concept of the program came to me, I talked to a lot of young men and men in my neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York, where I was born and raised. And I got a wonderful response. They said, man, you have to go ahead and do it. So I wanted to find out what the issues was. And many of the fathers were kind enough to share with me, you know, it was the system. They were fearful of the system. They felt like they didn't have any rights. So I said, well, what could give fathers a voice?
So I just
put the with in there. And I said, you know what? Fathers with Voices. And that's how I came up with the concept of the program. And then the services that I provide is providing information, referrals, and resources on as many issues as I possibly can in terms of trying to educate and empower fathers on whatever type of case that they're involved in, whether it's child support, visitation, or custody. We refer fathers to places where they can get process servers, legal aid services, pro bono services, private investigators if necessary. We do research for fathers on a variety of different topics. And I think that the most valuable service that we provide is the fact that I provide real life experiences in terms of, you know, insight, because many of the struggles and hardships fathers go through, I've already experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my job to share with him a better way on how to deal with that problem. So that's a major strength of my program.
Okay. Does Fathers with Voices, does it limit its resources, Eric, and its support to men, or does the program also help women?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. We get calls from women all the time, and I always have to stress to women because you could tell they're a little bit hesitant. But, yes, we have and we continue to help women because women will call with, you know, a child support issue or even a custody issue. So, yes, we do help women.
Okay, and I think that's wonderful. The services that you offer and something that probably, I know you've been on a lot of national shows that as you continue to spread this information and you let men know that there is help. Now, I know some fathers who they love their children and they're committed. I don't care if they had to go to court 100 times. There are some men who they're going to be in their children's lives and there's nothing that's going to stop them. And I salute those men. I know men personally. They you know, the relationship with the mother didn't work out. But nothing's going to stop them from being involved. They got to go to court 100 times, and let's go to court 100 times. They're going to be in their children's life. But some men, like you say, might not have that much assertiveness, and they'll back off. And I think your services are so needed. And then there also, of course, are mothers and fathers who really don't care about their children, and that's a whole nother matter. But at your website, it's written, after speaking to thousands of men and women involved in the drama, Mr. Leggett learned individuals engaged in intimacy too quickly without the benefit of getting to know each other and neglecting to ask questions before undressing. These actions were a direct link to the reasons they became involved in the drama. And I read that, and I just heard something on WDAS yesterday where a woman was talking about how we make the same mistakes, I mean, generation after generation. Are we that slow at learning? Are we as humans, are we really that slow?
I would have to say I think we are because, you know, it's the same, you know, I compare that issue with the same issue of when you hear so many of our wonderful African-American artists that go bankrupt.
Yes.
And I don't understand that because there's so many other artists that ended up going bankrupt for poor money management skills. And then you look now and you still have the same problem. Well, with the issue with people having children without the benefit of getting to know each other.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's an art to me in terms of dating. You have to understand. And when I was doing a lot of workshops for high schools and colleges some years ago, what I would tell high school students is that people, adults, seem to put too much confidence in contraceptives. And that's the major problem right there because people think, yes, I have protection, and of course you have protection. There are hundreds of thousands of children that have been born when both people have protection.
Yes. Wow.
Okay? So when you're meeting somebody and after, let's just say, 2 or 3 weeks, and you're telling all your friends, girl, we got the same number of letters and the same, and we have the same number of letters in our name. We are meant to be, and all this other stuff, okay? And he's going around and saying, man, do you know this chick got 10 toes and 10 fingers just like me? Yeah, well, you got to keep her, player. Okay, and then they go ahead and they do the zoo. And they don't realize that there's always a chance that a child can be created. Now, you don't know much about her. You don't know much about him. He might have grown up without a father and is very angry. She might have issues because her father wasn't around. So now you have a problem. And this is something that I really, that's one of my major cold goals within the next 2 or 3 years is to actually go on a closing the curtain on the drama college tour. I really want to do that because that's the best time to catch our young people. To me, it should be earlier, But once they're in college, and you have to think, they're away from home,
mm-hmm.
they have freedom that they've never had before, many of them. They're
mm-hmm.
around, you know, the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand, yes, you're in college. You have high hopes of graduating and earning a lot of money. But if you slip up, it's going to cost you a great deal more than money.
Right. No, and one thing my father told us, he raised five children by himself, but one thing my dad was clear to tell us was a lot of people think a baby is like a doll baby. And that it's, and yes, when children are infants, they are just incredibly, it's just a huge miracle to hold a baby. But my father said children grow up and they start saying no. And they start doing things you don't want them to do, and their own personality comes out. And that little baby thing is out the window forever. And the rest, most of the rest of the years of the child's life, it's not, you're not just holding and milking and holding a baby saying, oh, look at my sweetie. This kid's running all over the place. And
they're going to grow up.
You gotta,
yeah.
And my dad said, he said, look, he was very honest with us. He said, I'm telling you, most people sex, you talking 10, 20 minutes tops. He said, and if you have a baby, that's the rest of your life. He said, it's not 18 years. Your whole life will be changed permanently. And my dad said, just have good sense and ask yourself when somebody maybe tries to get you to have sex to say, 20 minutes versus the rest of my life.
Rest
nah,
of
pass.
Your life. Very wise man. Very
wise man.
Very wise.
But you made a point when you said people put too much trust in contraceptions. You made a very good point. I have a friend who actually got pregnant twice on birth control while she was on birth control. You do, and I tell you, that is so hard not to do. To say, but I'm taking this pill or I'm doing this and there's just no way. It's very, very hard, Eric, to do that.
It is very hard because from a male perspective, the condom could break. From a female perspective, she might have taken her pill 15 minutes later than she normally does. I mean, you just never know. And I remember doing a workshop at a high school. And a young man came up to me, and it was one of my best moments since I started doing this program. He said, you know, I'm really glad that I came, because he says I was sleeping with a young lady that I don't even like.
Oh.
And he said, but you know what? It's over today. He said, because I could not imagine having a child with somebody I don't like.
Oh,
I said, well, then you got it. He got it.
That's very rewarding for you for your efforts. Eric, when did you start Success Is Your Right? When did you start that program?
I started that while I was living in New York City, because a lot of colleges and high schools had heard about me, so I started doing a lot of outreach for younger people. And unfortunately, since I've relocated to the South, they're just not receptive to, and I hate to be bold, but I'm going to be honest, they don't seem to be very receptive to, this is the Bible Belt, and
yes,
when you start
yeah.
talking about sex and things of that nature.
It's abstinence and then shut up.
Yep, that's it.
Right?
They don't want to talk about anything else but abstinence.
No.
And that's the reason why the HIV rate is very high in North Carolina. And the pregnancy rate is getting pretty high. So they might want to retool those thoughts, you know.
No, I understand. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and that is pretty much the thing. It's abstinence and then the end of discussion. End of
mm-hmm.
discussion. And it
mm-hmm.
is hard to get people to see that, with especially young people's hormones and nature, that just doesn't hold up. It just doesn't, and we have to deal with what the facts and not just work with perhaps the ideal or what we think should happen, but what is
mm-hmm.
happening, and then
right.
address that.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, how important do you think it is to the mental and emotional health of a child for both parents to have peaceful interactions with each other?
I believe it's very important. Let me give you an example. I work for the school system also, and a young man just really started acting out, matter of fact, to the point where he'd take off running outside of the school, and teachers, me and other teachers would have to go and chase him down. And this was a repeated pattern every day. He would just pick up and leave, you know. And what we found out was that he was missing his father. His mom and dad was divorced. I don't know the full story in terms of what the relationship was like, in terms of, you know, why he wasn't seeing him or whether the man was calling. I don't know, but that was the bottom line. His sister was in my class, and I could never understand. She would stay up under me all the time. And then one day she just started crying, and I just kept asking, you know, what's wrong? I got out in the hallway. She says, I miss my dad.
Oh.
So, you know, parents, and I've been doing this for a long time, and what I try to do with fathers, I can't take care of what's going on with mom. But what I try to do is tell fathers, do not engage in verbal warfare.
Okay.
You are not fighting your ex-spouse. You are fighting for your son or your daughter. There's a difference. If you're fighting the mom, then I can't help you because I don't get involved with that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you contact my program and said, you know what, I am having a hard time getting through this system, can you help me? Then I'm all for that. Because I don't get involved in verbal warfare, because that has nothing. I don't deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am. My program is named Fathers with Voices, but my program is really for the child.
Okay. And
okay?
Go ahead.
No, and I make that very clear to fathers too, because sometimes fathers will call me, and, you know, I hate to use the word try to play me or try to trick me, whatever, but I've been doing this for so long, and I've heard more drama-related stories than Maury Povich could ever dream of thinking about hearing, okay? And a lot of times men will call, and I can tell that they want to utilize the system to try to get back at their child's mom. I don't get involved with that. And I always tell them, when you're ready to calm down and you're ready to focus solely on your son or your daughter, then you can call me back. You're not there yet.
Mm.
And I know what space he's in, because I was in that space.
Wow.
That's why I said.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why I said it's hard to trick me, because I'm not only the president and founder, I'm his first client.
You've been there.
I've been there.
Wow. You know, and one thing I want to reiterate before we move on is, again, something that you had mentioned before, which I got to repeat that again, is we put too much trust in contraceptives. And when whoever you are choosing to have sex with, you actually, whether you know it or not, you might be picking your unborn child's father or mother. And that we got to. It's not a game, and we have to really get to know people, because not only are you picking somebody you might spend the rest of your life with, but you also are picking your unborn child's parent. And I've heard kids grow up and actually ask the parent, why did you pick him for my father? Or why did you pick this person to be my mother? You actually pick the person, and the mother or father will act like, They're a victim. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's like this. Or I can't believe she's like this. And your father's no good and your mother's no good. And you picked him.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be, we have to, men and women, take responsibility for ourselves. And we have to start doing it right now. We are talking on here on Off the Shelf with Eric. And I'm scared to say his last name. Eric
Leggett.
Eric Leggett. the author of Fathers with Voices and the founder the founder of Fathers with Voices and the author of Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. You can pick up a copy of this book, give it to a friend, you know, who's going through something. You can pick up a copy of this book for yourself. If you're going through a situation, maybe a divorce or a breakup, and there's a child involved, I highly recommend you get a copy of Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. So if you do get involved in the court system, you'll know how to handle it before your emotions just go through the roof. Or if you're already involved, you can know how you can become more active in your child's life, which will help your children by picking up and reading a copy of Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. And Eric is online at fatherswithvoices.info. I wanted to ask you next, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
This has always perplexed me. Fathers tend to be protective of their daughters. They don't want a guy dating their daughter. They're very protective. But these same men will treat another man's daughter like she is work in the red light district. Why do you think this is? This is just a perplexing thing to me. Why do you think this is?
I don't know. That's something that perplexes me too with some men, because I think with me having three daughters, it's like I look back in terms of my own dating experiences, and I say I always try to treat women with the utmost respect. As a matter of fact, I didn't try, I did. And it's just something that I don't particularly understand neither, because sometimes with men, they can kind of separate how they do things, like they're separating clothes. And they don't want anybody treating their daughters a certain way, but they have no problem going out with 6, 7, and 8, you know, different types of women. And those are the men that I think have deeper issues that they never addressed. And I think that's where a lot of it comes from. I don't think it's that because they don't love their daughters. I just think that there are deeper issues, and they look at their daughters as, you know, queen bees and princesses, but when they're dating, it's like, okay, you know, I'm the man or whatever have you, but that comes from deeper issues. You know, it's like when I was growing up, a lot of my friends were older than me, and I would see them juggle women like a clown, you know, juggling apples. And it was very disturbing to me, because I would say all of them were good women. And I would, you know, they would talk to me and say, well, why is he like this, this and that, and the other. And when I would sit down and talk to my friends, and it happened to them, they fell in love with somebody, and that woman, whatever, treated them badly. And once they recovered, they said, I'm just going to do, you know, what was done to me.
Wow.
And that's why a lot, see, you know, what I used to tell a lot of my,
I would try to tell
a lot of my female friends is that if you want to learn about men, you talk to a man, because they're going to tell you, in a lot of cases, they're going to tell you why they do certain things.
I think a man will tell another man, but not a woman. I don't think men are honest. That's just my view. I think a man will tell a woman what he thinks she wants to hear. He'll tell another guy the truth.
If in cases where he believes he can get something, yes. But if your friends, like I had female friends, no, I told them exactly what it was about. You know, that was just me. That's how I handled things, because they were my friends. I didn't want anything with them. They had boyfriends or they had husbands or whatever have you. I didn't want anything from them. So I would tell them the truth, you know. But you know, when men do things like that, there are deeper issues involved.
Mm.
There are. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, and I've heard that as far as men juggling women, that that could come from a man who has, he appears, they call them like a type A personality. He appears to have it all together. And a lot of men who might be at the top of their business or top in a sport or whatever, they appear to have it like a Superman. But really, if you peel away their cores, if you got a really good psychologist or somebody to peel away their core or to reach into their subconscious, these men feel tiny. They feel very, very small. And so I did hear from a man, one way that some men make themselves, if they feel small, I know every man feels that way because not every man is injured like that, is they say, there's a beautiful woman. I want to see if I can get her. Then if he gets her, he feels like, oh, I'm not so small after all. Then he's got, because really there is a root there that's got to be dealt with that hasn't been. Then after that wears off, he's got to go do it again and again and again and again and again and again. And until you deal with the root of the problem, you're just going to keep doing it because it's not going to fix it. It's like being a drug addict or alcoholic. It doesn't.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And unless you deal with the root, the problem is just going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of men are very angry with Steve Harvey right now because.
Wow. Telling secrets, or?
Well, a couple of them feel, a couple of my people that I know that we talk about the subjects, like, yeah, he putting all our business in the street. That's one half. But then you have the other half that's very upset because they feel like, okay, you're lumping us all in one bowl, and we're all not like
okay.
that.
Okay, right.
And that is what has got a lot of brothers really tight with him right now. And then also this statement of being an expert at manhood.
Okay.
Okay, let me explain something to you about being a man. You will never figure that out. I will never figure that out. This world will pass away and be gone. And I could come back and I still wouldn't know all the aspects of being a man. It's a daily learning experience. You're learning how to maneuver and navigate through certain situations. You have to adjust to different things. You don't ever become that's why I don't like when people, you know, years ago, I was on a radio show and the guy said, fatherhood expert. And the moment that the sound of the commercial break came in, I covered that microphone. I said, please don't address me as that. And he said, why? I said, because you're taking away my ability to learn. See, I don't know at all, okay? I don't know at all.
Right.
And I'm still learning, okay? And that's the beautiful thing about life is that you will always learn something different if you're receptive to it. To me, when you start putting those types of titles, you're kind of making people feel like, yeah, you know, he has it all together and he has all the answers. No, I don't.
And person says, that is the absolute truth, and I can't even question it. If I have another idea, my ideal is wrong, theirs is right. I guess you could approach it that way as well. And I agree with you. We can't figure even ourselves out. We're beings that don't have no end, and we, as our experiences change, we feel and think differently about things. And so there is never a point where you can say about anything, I know all about even a speck of dust. I wanted to ask you that. What can men and women do, Eric, that will help them choose better parents, mothers and fathers for their unborn children? Because this probably is really where we start. What can we do to choose better parents for our unborn children? What are some of the things
first,
we should
have to work on ourselves? We have to work on ourselves. Whatever issues that we're dealing with from our past, whether it's self-esteem issues, whether it's issues with a parent, whether it's issues from a past relationship. See, when we're adults, we carry a lot of baggage with us a lot of times. And when you carry that type of baggage and then try to get involved in a relationship, then something bad is going to happen. You know what I mean? For example, when I hear stories of people that get impacted by the drama, they ignore their warning signs.
Mm.
They did. They ignore their warning signs. They admitted it to me. You know, women ignored certain warning signs pertaining to a guy. And
are there any typical warning signs for men and women that people could, other than being violent or possessive, or, you know, the guy fooled around on all his other girlfriends, or the woman cheated on all her other boyfriends, but somehow you believe they won't cheat on you?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other, like, things that you know that if you have a child with this person and your relationship doesn't work with them,
mm-hmm.
yeah, man,
well,
they're going to make you pay?
Well, for men...
Are there any signs to look for?
It is. For men, it's hearing a woman say, I'm not ready for a child, or I don't want children, okay?
Mm.
For women, it's the same thing. They're sleeping with a man that says they don't want a child. So why would you sleep with them?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
wow.
you think about it for a minute, and then when the child is born, and the guy says, well, I told you I didn't want a child. This is how men get out of it, or try to get out of it. They'll say, but I told you, and it's very dumb and immature to me. They'll tell them, no, I told you I didn't want a child. And then the young lady will say, well, I'm having a child. Well, if you have this child, you'll be raising it by yourself.
Wow.
Okay, so what did you think when he told you before y'all got into bed? See, sex is a very powerful thing. And that's why I wrote about that in my book. There are different type levels of sex. There's what I call good sex. It's the type of sex that you probably never experienced with anybody else. That will drown out a lot of reality. Let's keep it real. We're grown folks. We family now. We can talk. We family.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, because it does. It really does. I had a 55-year-old man call my program. He's the oldest man that contacted my program. And he started out with, yes, you know, I got this young lady pregnant. She's 30 years old. My children are grown.
Mm. Oh.
And I specifically told her that I didn't want any children. So do you hear that pause? That's what I did.
Yeah.
Because, see, when I pause like that, I'm catching myself because I'm getting ready to say something smart.
Right.
So I've learned over the years, don't do that because that's not professional. So I waited.
Mm-hmm.
I composed myself. I'm maturing. I composed myself. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, When what did she say to you about having children? Well, she told me I'm in my mid-30s and I'm ready to have children.
Oh.
That was his hint and a half to say, okay, you and I are not. Because I did it, ma'am. I did it. When I started going through my drama with my daughter's mother and we broke up, and I still, you know, we broke up, it took me a while to get back into the dating scene. Once I did, if I met you and after we talked a little bit and they said, a woman said, yes, I'm ready to have children, you became my phone friend. That's all we could do was talk on the phone. We couldn't go to the movies. We couldn't go to the corner store. We couldn't do anything but go talk on the telephone. Why? Because I didn't want a child. I didn't want another child.
Right.
But you did.
Right.
And you're a woman. So once you become pregnant, I can't tell you what to do with your body.
Right. Wow.
Do you see what I mean?
Wow. That is a very simple. I'm grateful for the things you're sharing. Particularly, we put too much confidence in contraceptives, and I hope a lot of people hear that. And a lot of parents can maybe share that with their own children. And then the very simple thing, one person says, I don't want children. One person says, I do. What are you two doing together? What are you two doing together? This is simple stuff, and there's something about us that tells us I can beat the odds, and I don't know what it is. We like all are gamblers. I wanted to ask you next, Eric, to talk a little bit more about closing the curtain on baby mama drama. When did you write the book, and what are some of the topics that you cover in closing the curtain on baby mama drama?
I started writing the book, I would have to say, around the year 2000. It was therapeutic for me. That was how I was able to deal with the stress of what was going on in my life. And you have to thank my dad, Mr. Leggett, for that suggestion. He just said, write about it and see what happens. And some of the topics I cover in there, of course, this book is for fathers that are fighting for their children. I shared a lot of information that men don't know. In the beginning portions of the book, I talk about my experiences. And the reason why I started the book in that manner, I wanted fathers to see how I was able to handle a lot of the quote-unquote drama-related games. That's why I would put things in bold print so they could see what I did that addressed my non-response to the drama games. And then I have what you call the educational portion. I just give you an example, visitation rights, things fathers need to know on child support, cases, how to write a petition, explaining to men that you know, child support is a process. And then I go on what I call my motivational chapters, you know, don't give up. Just a lot of different types of areas I covered throughout the book. So there's a personal aspect of the book. There is an educational aspect in terms of educating and empowering fathers. And then there's the emotional side, giving fathers tips on how to deal with the stress of the drama. So that's what the book is comprised of.
Wow, and for our off-the-shelf listeners who are going through that, those are, I'm sure, pertinent topics that Eric has lived through himself. He's worked with many men and women who are going through these situations, so he has his own personal experiences and loads of other experiences that he's gained in working with and helping others that he can offer to you and that are offered in Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. Eric, how long have you been hosting the FSU boot camps, and what's involved in those camps?
Well, I'm no longer holding it at this particular time. I was doing it probably from the beginning of – it was a 10-week program. I started in the beginning of November, and it sort of ended around the middle of December. But I still, and I'm glad you asked me about that, the Father Standing Up Boot Camp was a series of workshops that I realize have been the most stressful areas for fathers. And I wanted to get fathers to understand, and this is the year of empowerment, so I'm glad you asked me that question. Fathers have to understand if they don't educate and empower themselves, they're going to be bound to the drama for the next 10, 15, 18 years of their lives. And right now, and I'm not going to try to be very long-winded, but right now, included with my one-year service plan is those 10 workshops that are pre-recorded, and all I do is just email them to fathers through their email account. But for 1 year, I want to work with fathers to help them finally put this problem in its place. Closing the curtain on the drama is a process that includes prayer, mediation, biblical scriptures, education, and empowerment. And I have a sense of urgency, ma'am, because when I started this program 15 years ago, the major obstacles for men were, of course, the ex-spouse, the ex-mate, and the legal system. That is still the case. Now they have a more formidable foe in their own attorneys. And that is the reason why I'm doing this, because I have received hundreds of calls from all over the country from fathers stating that, you know, you're my last option. I have invested $10, $15, $20, $100,000, and I have seen no progress in my case.
Wow.
That is a problem.
Wow.
Men are paying, they're paying Trump Plaza prices and getting Motel 6 results.
Wow. Eric, what changes do you think courts can make? First of all, they can't deal with the attorney fees. The individuals have to say, you know, I'm stopping. I'm only going to spend so much, and then that's it. What changes do you think courts can make to encourage better relationships between a child's parents during particularly nasty divorce settlements or whether child support or child custody cases? What can courts do to help make this turn out better?
To me, what they need to do, because, ma'am, this is what happens. They'll allow a lot of the drama-related stuff in the courtroom, and then what they'll do is, on the father's side, they will reduce his visitation time until they do their quote-unquote investigations. And once the investigation is proven to be unfounded, then they regain the visitation rights. What they need to do is to educate parents more from a child perspective. In other words, have a child psychologist sitting in the room and explain to them what it does to a child emotionally and mentally when there is a lot of back and forth. And if you really love your child, you don't want to hurt your child.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
To me, the child psychologist needs to be included in these divorce proceedings. Forget about the lawyer. He's there to try to get as much money as he can. I'm just going to keep it real with you, okay?
Right.
They need to have a representative there that understands what a child goes through in terms of a mental and emotional state. So they can look at mom and dad and say, okay, I don't particularly care about your issues between the two of you. How do you feel about your son or daughter? Do you want your son or daughter academic progress to go from a B average to an F average because you two can't get along? Do you want your daughter? Do you want your daughter to become promiscuous because she's dealing with these issues and she's not getting the proper attention from either one of you? Do you want your son ending up in a juvenile state-operated institution or prison because neither one of you are paying attention to what's going on in his life? You're only concerned about hurting each other. It's very simple,
goodness.
Ma'am. Ma'am, we take arithmetic and we try to turn it into calculus. It's not simple.
When we again, that goes back to when we do choose people, whoever you're choosing to have sex with, you may have already chosen your child, your unborn child's parent. There's no other way to say that. I don't care what type of contraceptive you're using. As Eric has said, and I have known people who were on contraceptives and got pregnant, this is what you're doing. Whether you want to believe it or not, this is what you're doing. And when we don't have our needs met, we're adults, but we had things that happened to us as children, and we have maybe some serious unmet needs in us, and we try to get those needs met through a relationship with another person, if that doesn't happen, we don't even have enough to even really raise a healthy child. It's just we got to really start thinking about this more and take the game out of sex that we see in the media so much. And when I say media, I'm not talking about the average TV or anything, but there are a lot of songs, there's a lot of things that make it like it's some game, and it's not. Eric, I love the scriptures that you share at your website, including Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." And Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him," or through Christ who strengthens me. How important for you was it, was trusting God for you as you continue to move forward toward establishing a rewarding and a lifelong relationship with your daughters? How important was that for you?
It was paramount, ma'am. Had I not had a lot of people praying for me, but more importantly, had I not learned how to cry out and humble myself and pray for myself, I wouldn't have made it. I would have gave up. Because the I'm the type, with me, when I don't understand something, when somebody's behavior does not make any sense, I leave them alone. Because things have to make sense for me to do it. And that's why I've always had a challenge with my faith, because faith is not what you see, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you believe, okay? And that's why I say that closing the curtain on the drama is a process. With me, it was prayer. It was meditating on other scriptures, like, you know, fret not thyself for evil doers and things of that nature, and God is a present help in the time of trouble. These are the things that would give me peace when I was going through my drama. But also, I'm a big Hawkins family fan. You know, Walter and Edwin Hawkins.
Yeah, Walter, Tremaine, Edwin. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I've been following them literally since I was a child. And I would mail this one song made by Walter Hawkins named Hold On Old Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I would mail, this was when, you know, we didn't have CDs back then, you know, it was tapes. And I would mail that particular song to fathers, because it describes clearly what men go through. You might be feeling a little discouraged, you know, right now, just trying to find a sign to you know, reassure you that God has not forgotten you. But you have to remember your past, that whenever you asked, he was right there. And, you know, listening to that song over and over, and I had the great pleasure of meeting the bishop before he passed, and I was able to share with him how much his music ministry have meant in my life, because that one song, that got me through those 5 years. It did.
Wow. And it took that long. My goodness. I can only imagine, you know, it's the good Lord who makes the decision that the female carries the child. I mean, if it was reversed I just couldn't imagine if I couldn't see my son. And I think when mothers and fathers don't, and there are parents who don't, they don't want anything to do with their kids. They made a baby, oops, and then they move on. I think the people who do this, like a man who might have 18 kids, and I know of a man who does, I don't know him personally, I just know somebody, child of his, 18 kids by 10 different women, and you're not taking care of any of those kids. It's this types of thing that makes people think, well, men don't care about their kids anyway. So then when a guy wants his child, you just think, well, he can't possibly love his child as much as the mother. You just can't imagine it. But he could, and it's like if you tore a child away from a mother, a man who really loves his kid, it hurts just as bad. It hurts just as bad. And not every man is going to walk off and leave his kids. There are men who love their kids just as much as a good mother loves her kids. So I think that is important also to remember as we're coming down to the very last few moments of this interview. I want to thank you again, Eric, for being here on Off the Shelf with us. And we've spoken today with Eric Leggett. He's the author of Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama and the founder of Fathers with Voices. Please go check him out online at Fathers with Voices, spelled the way it sounds, .info, and pick up a copy of his book, Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. Before we close, I wanted to ask you, how can organizations reach out to you if they want you to speak at an upcoming event?
Well, all they have to do is shoot me an email at fatherswithvoices@yahoo.com. And very quickly, I also have an ebook that was just published online. And you can get that also. And it's for couples that are dealing with the drama. It's called the Couples ABC Guide, How to Face Conflicts with an Ex-Spouse Together. So,
wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a book. With all of our blended families and step-parents, that's a book to get. Give us the name of your ebook again, and please tell our listeners where they can get a copy.
Okay. It's the Couples ABC Guide, How to Face Conflict with an Ex-Spouse Together. And attached to that ebook is also on my website. But attached to that ebook, the first 200 people that purchase the ebook is going to have a chance to win vacation packages next summer, sponsored by my program, Fathers with Voices.
Wow. Okay, off-the-shelf listeners, you guys can get over to fatherswithvoices.info, pick up a copy of his latest ebook, which is for a parents and adults, and also pick up a copy of Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama. If not for yourself, then perhaps for someone you know. We want to thank you, Eric, for being here with us today, for Fathers
thank
with
you.
Voices, for all that you do, and for the books that you're writing. Wish you the very best. To our listeners here at Off the Shelf, thank you for being here with us this Saturday. Please come back next Saturday, 11 o'clock in the morning, where we will bring you another phenomenal guest. Remember that you are so valued, so truly appreciated and loved. Go out and create a marvelous day for yourself. And, Eric, I'll shoot you an email. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.